We're going to read from God's Word now, and leading up to Pastor Trent sharing. So we're reading from Deuteronomy. So if you're concentrating in the song, you don't have to go very far to get to Deuteronomy. So it's Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're reading verses 29 to 40. Just a little bit of background. Deuteronomy. Big long sermon from Moses before the people were entering the promised land. So this is the introduction here where he starts, and he's reminding the children of Israel of what has happened in their journey, and then he gets into other messages and promises as well. So he's talked to them about how they left and all aspects of God's provision, and down the section that we're reading was about the heading in the NIV Bible says it's rebellion against the Lord. So this is when they had their decision to not enter the promised land, which led to the wanderings. So this is a record of Moses' words. So we're looking in Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 29. And so when it says I, it's Moses who's speaking there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in the fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That's a challenge, isn't it? Followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter it either, but your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said would not be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I'll give it to them, and they will take possession of it. But as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. Trent's going to speak to us from his word now. Thanks, Trent.
Great, friends. Welcome to our Joshua series. I'll click you over on that. Let's go that one. Yes. We are in our Joshua series, and today, but particularly, I thought it might be helpful as we start a series just to focus in on Joshua as a character and Caleb. Now, we'll get to their story a little bit, but the picture might help you and give you insight to what they did. And as we read out of Deuteronomy, really reminds us of a bit of their character as we picked up that story. So that's where we're heading for today. But firstly, I wanted to get you to do something for me. I want you to put your two hands in the air. Go on, you can do it. Oh, look at you, a bunch of charismatics. Look here. Praise the Lord. That's right. No. Now, I want you to hold your hands up for the whole sermon. Then we'll see how some people go. It's good. Most people have got, everyone can get their arms up. That's good to see. Well, keep them up there. Oh, I do want you to be strong. I do want you to be courageous. Come on. Be strong. Be courageous. You can do it. This is going to be a memorable sermon, right? Yeah, your shoulders wake tomorrow. Okay, a few of us have done physical exercise already. And this is some spiritual exercise and physical exercise. I saw someone out at 5:20 this morning, saw you as I drove past. People have, and this will be an exercise for us. Now, do you remember, this is reminding you of a story. Like, some people are petering out. Come on. It's going to make it a memorable one. Now, if your arm gets tired, just ask your neighbor next to you. Can you just prop that arm up a little bit? Maybe lean it on their head a little bit. Yeah? They can help you out. Because there were two supports for the man named, who's in that picture we had, Moses. Moses. And he had two supports in Aaron and who? Her, that's right. So Aaron is there. And where's our Aarons? You need an Aaron under your arm today? We know our Aarons here today too. If there's an Aaron next to you, get them to hold your arm up. If it's getting tired, it could work up the back there. If there's a female sitting next to you, don't just say her, hold up my arm. But her was the man who held up and helped Moses and support his arms. And we are going to look and we meet that story. Do you know where that story is? If I speak slower, does it mean the sermon go longer and you have to hold your hands up longer? Okay, you're doing great. New people here, they're strong, they're courageous. Great to have you here. We meet Joshua firstly in the story. You know where he's first in the story? Exodus 17. And that's the story where we meet Joshua, where he's first mentioned in the scriptures. Exodus 17. Moses is up a mountain. Isn't Moses always up a mountain, right? He's up a mountain. And the people are in battle. Joshua is leading the people in battle. What happens when Moses puts his hand down? Come on, you've all put your hands down. Up with Tim, what happens when his hands are up? Yes, they overcome the enemies. His arms get tired. The enemy overcomes, so he gets support. Holding up the hands to the Lord because he's the one who the battle belongs to. Okay, you can probably put your hands down if you need to. But we're going to look at these two men in Joshua and Caleb at the start of the series. We will look at one woman, and we'll get to that later on in chapter 2 of Joshua, where we'll hear about Rahab, and we'll hear Lynn share about Rahab. So that's coming up. But today it's J and C, yeah, Joshua and Caleb. And it'll also remind us of JC, the man, the one man, Jesus Christ, who they point us to, and as all scripture points us to Jesus. Will remind us of him. So we'll get to that. But I'm going to pray so you can put your arms together or your hands together if you want. Tim, so strong. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We know that when we open your word, your spirit is ready to do your work. And we ask and invite you, Lord and Holy Spirit, and we want to be open to what you have for us. We want to receive what you have for us today. So help us, Lord, to be open to that. Help us to be attentive to that. Help us to be listening to what you're putting upon our heart today. And we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, friends, we start with Joshua. And Joshua, who we meet, we met two exceptional men, actually. Those two exceptional men, Joshua and Caleb, they're in, as if you haven't found there, in the Pentateuch. And if you go to the end of the Pentateuch, you get to Deuteronomy. Remember our Deuteronomy series in 2021, if you were here. And the story in Deuteronomy 1 is about the spy story, and we meet these two exceptional men out of the 12 who came back with fruit from the land as they had spied it out. And the two exceptional men, we'll start with looking at Joshua. Joshua, as I said, where do we meet him? In... firstly, thank you, Exodus 17, great. First time you meet him in the scriptures. Then he comes up in Numbers. In Numbers, you'll hear about him being the aide, or he aids Moses since his youth. So in Exodus, we find out that he is a military man because he's leading the battle there. He's overcoming the Amalekites, who were the arch enemies of Israel. While Moses' hands was raised, and we see he's a becoming military man there. When we meet him and see him again in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers we get to. When we get to Numbers 11, we find out that he has aided Moses since his youth, which it informs us there. So he's been like a mentor or a mentoree to Moses. Then in a few chapters on, in Numbers 13, we find out that's the spy story. there again. If you want to go and read the spy story as the 12 go into the land and come back. And at that point, Moses changes his name from Hosea, to Joshua. Not a big change, but a few letters there. Probably more like Joshua. And Joshua is a Hebrew word. Two parts to it. A shortened version of Yahweh, for Yahweh, the Lord, and the word for salvation. So put that together, Yahweh's salvation, the Lord saves. And so his name, and that's what his name means, and that's really the story that we find in the scriptures of him. Further on, we see in Numbers 27, when you get there, if you flick through, again, Moses is up a mountain. It's a different mountain this time. He sees the land that they're going to go into, but he's not going in there. The Lord reminds him of that. And Joshua is going to be the one who takes him into the land. He's recognized as a man with the spirit, a different spirit. And we see that he is commissioned there by Moses because God's people need a shepherd. Israel will be like sheep without a shepherd, and so God gives them Joshua. Now in Deuteronomy 34, go there. So you're at Deuteronomy, run for our reading, but go to the back of Deuteronomy. And at the last chapter in Deuteronomy 34, starting at verse 7, it says, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab, 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with a spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him so that the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Do you see the succession plan that happens here? And Joshua steps into the role which Moses was doing. In Joshua 1, as you flick over your page or your screen, we find out in Joshua 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And again, here we find out that he's Moses' assistant, but now he's taking on the role. He was Moses' assistant back at the tent of meeting as Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, if you remember. And in Joshua 13, if you were to flick over to Joshua 13 as you skim through quickly, verse 1, how's this for the Lord to say this about you? Okay, Joshua 13:1. When Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, you are very old. What if the Lord says that about you? You are very old, and there is still very large areas of land to be taken over. And Joshua is going to be the one who leads them into the land, even though he's in his old age, and they're going to still take the land, and it's going to be divided up. The promised land, which they had wandered around the desert for 40 years before they arrived at and get to. Now, if you flick over to the end of Joshua, Joshua last chapter is what? Joshua 24. And in Joshua 24, we find out that Joshua himself then is 110. He's 110 in the end, and he's still gunning for God. And he's really encouraging the people at the end of his life to live for the Lord and to follow his commandments. And he says, as for me, my house, you need to choose what you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. And there we get to the end of Joshua. So in summary, really, Joshua was a military leader. He executes the ambush style in chapter 7. You know that style in warfare where you go to the enemy or their city and then you pretend you're running away because you're scared. They run out after you, but you have people waiting in ambush who run into the city and take over the city or attack them from behind and they're squashed in the middle, yeah? So he was kind of the one who executed that under God's command. He leads the battles, that battle since Exodus. So this is 40 years on now, after 40 years in the desert, after that battle that he had of the Amalekites and overcoming them with Moses. And he leads them to the promised land, and he'll be their military leader in that time in between. We'll see in chapter 6 as that battle of Jericho, which we'll come to, and then the battle of Ai, which he'll continue to be that military leader to them. But not only is he a military leader, he's also a spiritual leader to the people. And he leads them spiritually. He's like a new Moses. I don't know if you noticed that as you think about him. Because remember what Moses did? He led the people across which sea? Yep. And he led them across the sea. But in chapter 3 here, there's a crossing of a different sea or a river, the Jordan, where that is stopped and he leads the people into the land. And so there's similar things going on here. In chapter 5, he calls the people and they're circumcised. And to the Passover, to have the Passover before they go in. And so what has Moses done before they leave Egypt? You know, they're taking the Passover. And so this is like a new Moses figure, if you haven't picked that up. And then in chapter 24, he's bringing the people back to the law which Moses had brought to the people. And he's calling them back to them in obedience. This is one exceptional man, right, in the scriptures, yeah? There's no real mess on him, or no real records of his mess-ups. And so, kind of exceptional in that way as well. And there's a lot of people who are named Joshua, isn't there? There's a lot of people in my generation, I think it is, or the generation after coming up. We have our own Joshua here too. He's the double N, but this is Joshua, only single N, son of Nun. And I suppose there's a lot of pressure on the Joshuas out there, isn't there? If there's no mess up from Joshua in the Bible, then there's, you know, feeling, I don't know if you do feel, you probably feel a bit of the pressure. Except maybe there's that protest that he has to Moses. That's maybe his only mess up that is recorded in the scriptures. And in Numbers 11, where he wants Moses to stop those people prophesying, those two people prophesying, those two blokes. But Moses reminds him that, actually, no, this is a spirit thing. And Joshua needs to learn before he leads the people to listen to the Spirit and the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God is doing. Now, that's something I suppose we can start to and think about how we apply that to all of us. All of us need to be seeing what the Spirit is doing. You know, we come with all our own ideas all the time, don't we? Our own agenda, my little list for the day, your list for the day. But what's the Spirit of God doing? What's the Spirit of God calling us to do in the moment, in the day where he has us? Oh, sorry. Yeah, getting to start to apply this. But there are lessons we can learn from Joshua. And there's obviously that lesson that there's time to develop a leader and there's lessons you need to learn before you step into a role. And there's lessons you learn along the way as well. And I know I've learned a lot of lessons about leading church life in the last 2 years particularly, in this whole time that we've had, in this COVID time and reappointment time. But our ministry leaders also, there's a probably good application and word here for us. Our ministry leaders shared last week and they were up the front here. But a good thing to remind you as ministry leaders, if you're a ministry leader, to seek what the Spirit is doing. And I suppose it's great to hear what the ladies are kind of sorting and hearing and listening and seeking to see what God's Spirit is calling them to. Because there's always people's plans, right? Versus God's plans. There's always our plans versus God's plans. There's good ideas and there's God ideas. And there's lots of good ideas. Even Joshua, people came with him and the people came with good ideas. Let's not send all the men up to the battle. We'll just send this amount because they're not that big an enemy. In chapter 7, you go and read and see how that works out for them. Only a few men will rest the rest. But it wasn't what God asked for. Good idea, but not a God idea. And there's plenty of good ideas that we might have, but what's God's idea? What's God doing? God is wanting us to be trained and discipled. He's wanting us to grow as disciples. We have a discipleship pathway, and one of the things is about training. And there's training ground for Joshua with his mentor Moses. And we also want to find the training ground and where we need to be trained and grow in capacity and ability to be able to serve in different ministries in different ways. And sometimes there's unknown training grounds. Like when I look back at my life, you know, I was a primary school captain, and I can see that God used that time to develop me as a leader later on that I would be. I didn't know that at the time. It was unknown to me. I was in primary school playing sport, and that was my thing I was doing. But later on, you know, leading a beach mission team, and I can see that God used that and used times within that to develop me as a leader to be up to the capacity and be at the stage where I am today. So there's unknown mercies that and training grounds that God used, but there's also known ones where you know where you want to develop or you could develop. And wouldn't it be great to sort those areas out and to find where those places are and for us to think as a church how we can equip you for that or jump on board with some training things that we are doing so you can get equipped in a different way. There's all sorts of ways that we can be trained up and developed. And there's all sorts of lessons we can learn from leadership and leadership development, particularly from Joshua and his story. But I reckon the biggest lesson is this. Biggest lesson, you ready for it? Joshua points us to Jesus. Joshua points us to Jesus. He does by name. Yeshua. Yeshua in Hebrew is Joshua's name, but Jesus, or in Greek, when you translate that, we get Jesus. And Jesus is one God saves. He's going to use to save the world. And Jesus says himself, he came to seek and save. We see his salvation work in the cross and in his resurrection. And when we go from Joshua, who's leading with the sword, to Jesus, who is leading by the cross. And we really are called to lead with the sword of the Spirit, right? Not the sword of the metal. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Stick to the Word of God as He leads us. That's the big lesson we learn as we turn to Joshua. And as Jesus is the one who can take us into the promised land, the real promised land. You know, Joshua has to go through battles in the promised land. And you know what? We go through battles now too. And I'm not sure exactly what you've been battling with this week. But Jesus is the one who takes us beyond those battles into the promised land. And the one who we can continue to trust in. And the one will take us into the promised land where there is no battles and the battling's over, whatever you've been wrestling with this week. But let's turn to Caleb and think about Caleb for a little while. As, Wendy, can I just tap? Oh, there we go. No, what are we doing now? I'll get to Caleb. Here we go. Caleb. He's the son of Jephunneh. No, however you say it. He's of the tribe of Judah. He's one of the 12 spies as well. When we meet him firstly in Numbers, and the first time we meet him is in Numbers what? Good. You're looking up. That's good to see. Numbers 13. In verse 6, we find out, and he's mentioned there, we see there that he is the one. He comes back. He has faith in the Lord and what the Lord has called us to, and he says, let us go at once. He is one of the ones who says, let us go at once. The rest of them kind of make up stories almost, and the people's hearts melt, and the other 10 come up with things, and the people don't want to go. But he is one who says in verse 30 of chapter 13, let us go at once. You see his trust and seeking faith in Yahweh. First up, he has faith in Yahweh. By chapter 14, we see that he is exceptional with a different spirit. He follows fully, it says there. And then in Deuteronomy 1, as we read that part, did you pick up what it said about him? Wholehearted. He's wholehearted. And that's really the meaning of his name. And then in Joshua 14, go there with me, Joshua 14. This is where Caleb is first mentioned in Joshua 14. And again, it says there, looking at verse 7. What does it say in verse 7? It says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me. So we see that he is 40 there. and follow along into verse 8. It says, my brothers who went with me made the hearts of the people sink. However, it says that he followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. And it reminds us again there, further down in the next verse, in verse 9 as well. And so let's think about this wholeheartedness for a little bit. The second exceptional man. And you notice Caleb doesn't really have any mess on him either. So all the Calebs out there, there's a bit of pressure on them too, isn't there? We have our own Caleb. He's the son of Hay. And last week, Caleb actually was baptized, if you didn't know, in Lake Ainsworth. And that's exciting news for him. But Caleb here, and then we as I mentioned, there's not really any mess on him, but in chapter 15, maybe you might call this a bit of a mess up, he offers his daughter as a prize. Is that a mess up? If someone, whoever wins the battle, they get my daughter. And we see that a big, strong man, or a courageous man, who is willing to put his life on the line, does get his daughter. That's probably the kind of man I want to take after my daughter as well. Take up my daughter, the one who's willing to give his life. But we see Othniel. And remember Othniel? He becomes the first judge when you get to Joshua Judges. So you can read it and catch up on that story later on. But lessons. What do we learn? Lessons from our friend Caleb. I reckon the lesson is this, that God's good for his promises. God is good for his promises. And that's something that he certainly trusted in. He had faith over fear. And remember, that was my new t-shirt I got in January, faith over fear. And I reckon that's a good slogan for us for the last couple of years. We've got to have faith over the fear and this fearful world in which we live in. Live by faith. And the great news for him in Joshua, it says that he'll never leave us. And he'll never forsake us. That's Joshua 1:5. God will never leave us or never forsake us. And that emboldens us to live for God and live for his promises. And promises, when he promises that he is with us, when he says, go and make disciples, make and multiply disciples, well, we don't have to fear. We can have faith in him in that, and we can be emboldened, and we can trust him in that, and go to that work that he has called us to, Matthew 28. Make and multiply his followers. But also other lessons for us here in application, ministry leaders, and for every Christian really, wholeheartedness. Often when you believe something, you get it into it wholeheartedly. You know, you believe that exercise is good, and sometimes you get in wholehearted, don't you, for a whole week. And then the heartedness gets a little bit half-hearted. Have you been to that? You started something off wholehearted and then it gets a little bit half-hearted as time goes on. Well, following Jesus for a while, 5 years it took for them to kind of conquer the land, or whether you've been following Jesus for 5 years, or maybe it's more like 40 years you've been following Jesus. You know, 40 years, Caleb was 40 years old when he actually took up that spiral. But then there's also 40 years on. So maybe you've, I don't know, you've been following Jesus for 80 years, 80 plus years. I'm not sure where you're up to or where you feel your heartedness is up to at this moment. But it is a bit of a challenge for us. And it reminded me of a song that I've been singing lately, or found myself singing, by Wren Collective. And I offer you this song, a great song, which says, it's really a prayer. I want to be wholehearted. I won't sing it for you. They sing it much better. I want to be wholehearted. And really, I want to encourage you to make that your prayer this week. Make it your prayer. The big lesson we learn from Caleb, and probably the biggest lesson, is he points us to Jesus. Jesus, Caleb was from the tribe of what? Tribe of Judah. Jesus is the line of Judah, right? And Jesus is the one who gives of himself wholehearted. And he's given his whole heart for you. He is the one who's been wholehearted when you haven't. And I tell you what, that's a good thing to finish on, isn't it? Now I'm going to leave us there. I'm going to pray for us right now. Lord God, there's things that we've been half-hearted on. Half a job. And so we want to say sorry for those things right now as you bring those to our heart. And we want to look to Jesus, the one who has given the Lion of Judah, who's given his whole heart and his whole heart poured out for us. And Lord God, we thank you for these men of the scriptures, these two exceptional men, Joshua and Caleb, but who are outshadowed. And we're reminded, overshadowed. In Hebrews 4, where it says that there's got to be someone else to come. Joshua will take us into the promised land who gives rest, but we need the one who brings us true, everlasting, eternal rest. And so we turn our eyes to Jesus. And Lord God, we ask that you will stir our hearts to be wholehearted for you this week as we go from this place. And we ask and pray your Spirit's guidance and lead us in this. In the name of Christ, amen.